Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
This is a huge opportunity for Bill Belichick. While it is big, you're not wrong. Nothing you said, Stephen A., was wrong. It is big for Cam Newton. I think it's bigger for Bill Belichick and the way we will view him going forward to be able to win with a quarterback who's not only not Tom Brady, is incredibly different.
Well, I suppose I could talk to them, see if they'd go for it. But why wouldn't they? I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest idea in show business.
So what that says to me is that Cam Newton could come to New England. Certainly if you're Bill Belichick and Cam Newton's your quarterback and you can't even make the playoffs and you completely fall apart without Tom Brady, that would be different. But if you get to the playoffs and you're in the championship picture, I think that's all Bill Belichick needs to accomplish.
Maybe I'll walk on the good road without taking off my boots. Oh. Or have a nice non-diet soda with my dinner.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All these people, these players, these players on other teams that make reference to the fact that Belichick's program isn't fun or playing for the Patriots isn't fun. If I'm Bill Belichick, I am not the least bit perturbed by that.
F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and anytime at all.
But if fun is your motivation as a professional football player, you've already lost. You've already lost. And you're not going to be around long and you're not going to make that much money and you're certainly not going to win.
The point is, we may not know his name, but we're on to him. One day, he'll slip up. And when he does, we're going to be there to nail him.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Nick Coit in today.
Hey-o.
Nick, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy 4th of July. Thanks for being here.
You too, pal. Good to be with you.
For those of you that cannot see Nick, which is everyone, he is wearing a United States shirt, color red, a Boston Red Sox hat with the red, white, and blue American flag woven into the B.
So love America,
love it.
Baby.
This is a great day.
Great
for
holiday.
A great American. Thanks for being here.
thank you, Captain America.
I don't know. I have no clue where Kitchen is. Did he tell you where he's going?
No idea. He said the girlfriend was dragging him somewhere.
Got some pressure
to
take the day off.
Yeah, he
okay.
did. So yeah, it's a holiday. I get it. You know,
A lot to get to today. I want to, obviously, we have to opine. It's been a few days, but I want to opine on Cam Newton and the signing. You know, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how that impacts the Patriots, the outlook for the Patriots. We'll talk about Major League Baseball. I know you were at Fenway Park yesterday. That must have felt nice.
It felt nice, but it was different. It was certainly different, Mark. With all the rules and regulations and everything spread out around the ballpark, you know, it felt normal being at Fenway, but also not feeling normal because of, you know, everything that we're dealing with COVID-19 too.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Everything I saw, I saw your piece last night. It was interesting to see all the scenes and the
right.
You got a shot of Ron Renicki washing his hands or sanitizing
right?
his hands.
That was like, my favorite shot from yesterday.
I thought that might have been file footage.
Yeah,
that was
no,
you. That
okay. was yesterday. Yep.
So interesting scene at Fenway Park. It's just, and we're gonna get to this. I have a question I want to ask you later about you know, how the NBA season's going to go and how you're going to feel watching those games. We'll get to that. First, I want to talk about Cam Newton. I have an opening take, and this is what, you know, this is sort of what I was hoping for when the Patriots didn't re-sign Tom Brady, but before he left, and I wanted them to re-sign Tom Brady. And this is why I'm happy that Cam Newton's here. Now, I just want to be on the record to sort of defend myself.
Now, when he's now, this is what I love about Mark, okay? When he says he's going to be on the record, he's setting up his phone right now so he can record this.
Correct.
So that this will go up on social media. It is officially on the record.
Yes.
And he was doing that
video
as,
evidence.
As he was just talking.
Video evidence.
This is incredible stuff to watch the man at work here.
Well,
this
just,
is great.
Sometimes I feel like it's to the detriment of the show when I videotape, but you want to be able to get the content out
there.
Oh,
no, I get it. No, okay. It's just impressive that you're doing it while you're talking, keeping a good rhythm with your pace, with everything, and now just you're ready. So
appreciate that.
Please, go ahead.
So what I was going to say is, you know, I wanted them to re-sign Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And I just want to, getting back to what I was going towards, defending myself, I didn't want them to sign Cam Newton, okay? But Kitchen and I both admitted that if it happened, we would be excited. There was no way we would be able to just hide all of our excitement if Cam Newton did sign with the Patriots. The problem is, ideally, I wanted Jared Stidham to beat out Cam Newton and then Jared Stidham to become Carson Wentz. You know, sure. A high-end, high-level quarterback. Carson Wentz has had his shortcomings. Really, ever since he was the favorite to win MVP, what was that, two years ago? He's been injured, but that's a guy that you could say, okay, they hit on him. He's a bona fide NFL starter, and you can do something with him. If Jared Stidham could have become that, that would have been ideal. But now here we are. Cam Newton is here. Forget about the price. We could talk about the price. We could talk about the contract. Why I wanted them, the Patriots, to re-sign Tom Brady initially is because I'm thinking to myself, look, the window isn't that big. You have this coach who's older, Bill Belichick. How old is he? 68? I mean, he's older.
Yep.
You have this defense that last year, for large parts of the season, was the best in the league. They're not going to be that for the next 7 years. You know, Stephon Gilmore was the best corner in the league last year, defensive player of the year. He's not going to be that for the next 4 or 5 years. He's going to drop off even this year. You expect him to probably not be the best cornerback slash defender in the entire NFL. There's going to be a drop off.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking for is, because of that, the short shelf life, like we saw in Seattle. How long did the Legion of Boom last? 3-4 years, maybe?
Well, and that's a perfect example of, especially with secondary players and cornerbacks, it feels like their peak, like their absolute peak, it goes tops like 4 years. Like I think of Darrell Revis, when he was at the top of his game, it was like 2008 through like 2011 or
exactly.
Something like that. So with Gilmore, I think that's a great point.
Wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, before Tom Brady left, if there's nobody else better out there, Jared Stidham's not better, let's bring him back. You know, let's bring him back. You make the money work. Now, I don't know at the end of the day what Tom Brady would have been willing to sign for. More than Cam Newton. He was going to sign for more than that.
Right.
But let's bring him back, because it's not likely you're going to win another Super Bowl, but it's your best chance. You've got the defense. You've got the structure, the culture, McDaniels, Belichick, Robert Kraft still in place. It's all still here. Let's just take one or two more cracks at it while the defense is still good, while the culture still exists, and while the coaching staff is still in place. He left. Brady left. So you have Stidham. Not going to win a Super Bowl this year. He wasn't going to do it. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Barring some miracle, which was highly unlikely, some Tom Brady-type miracle. So you have now Cam Newton. So, of course, I like it. Cam Newton, there's a lot of risk, injuries, fit, all of those things. But he's a former MVP. He's 31. He's, you know, been a first-team All-Pro quarterback in this league. Why not give it a shot with a guy like that when you have the defense, when you have the coach and the continuity within the coaching staff, ownership? The whole thing is still intact other than Brady. Give it a shot. The defense isn't going to be this good. And how long did it take them to get the defense as good as we saw it last year and the end of 2018? It took years to get that good. You have to find a way to try to capitalize with this short window you have left. And I think Cam Newton presents a better option than Jared Stidham to do that. So that's why I'm happy overall.
Yeah, I think with the Brady thing, I think we all, if Tom Brady is playing football, he should be playing football in New England. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Obviously, what happened, happened. They wanted to go to year to year. Brady wanted a commitment, and he wanted dollars, and he wanted years, and it didn't happen. So the Brady thing, we've talked about it a lot, you know, both of our shows, and it is what it is now. So moving forward, okay, it sounded like they were okay going into the season with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer and throwing the kid out there possibly and just seeing what he could do. But I'm with you. With the Cam Newton thing, I said on the previous show, my first reaction in March when the idea of Cam Newton came up, I believe was my reaction was around the words, ew, no. Okay. And the reason I said that was because, one, I thought he's going to get, it's going to be, even if it is a year, it's going to be like $8 to $10 million for a guy that gets injured a lot. And yes, he's a former MVP, but a former MVP and all those things. Plus, you know, I brought up some of the character things that that stuck out in my head. You know, not diving in the fumble in the Super Bowl, the way he acted post-game after that Super Bowl, laughing at the female reporter down there asking the question about football.
That.
Yeah. That was a bad one. So all those things rub me the wrong way about Cam Newton. But here we are a few months later, and Bill Belichick signs him for this deal, this contract, which is a base of $1.1, but $550,000guaranteed. That's it. That's it. $550,000. And then all incentives. If you're bringing Cam Newton in on this deal, how do you not like it? How do you? There's no risk there, Mark. There's no risk. It's
no risk.
You bring him in and see what he can. If he turns out to come in, earn all those incentives, and lead you to a successful season, and he has some success himself, and then goes and signs a big money contract somewhere else, you'll have given Jarrett Stidham, if you believe he's the guy, another year to develop, and you've found the perfect bridge quarterback, pretty much. So how could you not like it for the deal that was signed here? I of course you like it. You should be excited about it because he could come in and potentially recapture some of that old glory.
Yeah, oh, and he's going to be motivated. Here, let me just read this real quick.
Okay.
Quarterbacks Cam Newton is making the same amount of money as Colt McCoy, Blaine Gabbert, Geno Smith. Quarterbacks he is making less money than Cam Newton, Nathan Peterman, Matt Barkley, Nate Sudfeld, who I still think is the tight end from a few years ago in the preseason,
right.
Chad Henne, Chase Daniel, and some other guys I've never even heard of. I mean, it's a stupid, cheap contract.
Well, yeah, you heard Richard Sherman this week. He called it disgusting. Which
I mean, it is.
It is. But for that kind of deal, this is classic Belichick, and even more classic than some of the moves in the past. I had a friend bring up the Darrelle Revis signing from 2014, where, you know, in a way, it's similar because it was, okay, sign him for a year. You know, he recaptures some of his momentum, you know, plays well, has some success, and signs his last big money contract, which is exactly what he did. And he helped the Patriots win a Super Bowl and probably the last good year of his career. But the difference there was you paid Darrelle Revis $12 million. Like, you paid for Darrelle Revis that year.
Correct.
You're barely paying for Cam Newton.
Correct.
Cam Newton. You are paying between the three quarterbacks that you have on the roster. I think you're paying somewhere around like $3 million as like a base salary with Stidham, Hoyer, and Newton. You're paying Tom Brady in dead cap money $13.5 million. I mean, so the guys that you have on your roster, that's all you're paying for them. And could you, if you find success and go to the playoffs with that, you know, boy, oh boy, it's tough to compare quarterback and positions and value all that, you know, to other positions on the roster. But with Belichick, you can do that because there's times where he'll you know, value some positions and some players and not value others and whatever and get, you know, cost effective. And he's done that with the quarterback position. And if Cam Newton has success, I think he's going to look good.
What was it that we kept hearing Bill Belichick wanted to do, the Patriots wanted to do in regards to Tom Brady? We kept hearing that, hey, we want Tom Brady, but we want him at our price. That was sort of the vibe you got out of the Patriots side of it. They wanted Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But they just wanted him at their price, under their terms. That's essentially. Now, I know you could argue this, who's better, who's more effective, who will be more effective next year. But that's essentially what Bill got. He got a guy, and whether or not we'll see how good Tom Brady is, he's got a lot of weapons down with the Bucs. Wasn't that good last year? Wasn't as good last year as we've seen in the past. You can't argue that. Tom Brady wasn't as good. If Cam Newton is Cam Newton and he's healthy, you could argue that the way Tom Brady played last year might not be as good as the way Cam Newton plays this year if Cam Newton is healthy and Cam Newton. You could argue that. And now they've got him on a deal worth $1.1 million, $550,000 guaranteed. You essentially, Belichick did what he was trying to do. He got Tom Brady at their price. Now, is he going to be Tom Brady? There's a lot of different things, leadership, culture, all the things that Brady was for the Patriots that Newton won't be or will have to turn into. But, I mean, that price and that quarterback, if he is Cam Newton, if he's got his game, it's going to be close. I mean, who's better, Brady or Newton next year? It probably will be close if both are healthy and both are clicking.
I just think the Patriots offense will be more efficient. And I said that with Jarrett Stidham, too, because as much as you love Brady, as much as you love everything that he accomplished here, everything that he did here, how he changed the culture of New England sports, it's just, there's no debating that. So anytime we criticize Tom Brady, whatever, there's no debating that part of it. But last year, and in particular, probably the last 2 years, he started being that old veteran that tunes out guys and shuts guys out and gets frustrated with receivers and mopes around when you win in Philadelphia and you're and calls himself the most miserable 8-0 quarterback there ever was.
That wasn't Brady.
That's not the Brady we were used to. And so when that happens, you know that I think it's time for a change. And that's why, you know, I feel like they're going to be more efficient because a guy like Stidham or now Cam Newton will be more apt to work with some of the young receivers.
Yeah.
He'll look at a guy like N'Keal Harry and say, I can work with this young guy. You know, I can work with Jacoby Myers. I can work with, and for Newton, I really think, and Mark Daniels talked about this on the previous show, and I agree with him. I think what's going to work to Newton's strength here is, you know, as much as you love Edelman and the receivers, and I know he's been working out with Mohamed Sanu, but I think the guys that will be most effective with Cam Newton will be your stable of running backs. And you have a really good stable of running backs, whether right. it's Sony Michel, but more in particular to me, James White and Rex Burkhead. Those guys that, you know, you can circle out of the backfield, that you can throw to on a check down, that you can throw to in the flat. Like those guys, I think, because if you believe that Newton's arm strength or, you know, something's up with his shoulder or whatnot, or he can't, you know, throw the deep, whatever, his accuracy, you name it. If he can work that short to intermediate game with those talented backs, I think this works really well for him. And he's more apt to work with those guys and not get frustrated if they run the wrong way, which was what Tom Brady was doing last year with all the receivers and the guys on offense. He was shutting guys out. He was. It's a fact.
It was an ugly year last year in a lot of ways for Tom Brady. But real quick.
You're writing notes over there. What do you got going on?
Well, I just don't want to forget some stuff.
Okay.
Real quick. So I listened to some of the Mark Daniels guy.
Yep.
I listened to some of the interview.
Yep.
Scott, what the hell was he saying? Mohamed Sanu? I was like, my head was spinning. Like, what was he doing?
Scott has trouble with names sometimes.
Is that how he always says it?
Sometimes he's got trouble with names sometimes. It is what it is. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if that was a thing.
No, it's fine. I just roll with it.
Brady, yeah, look, we're not going to get into this, but I always go back and I always, you know, you never know, because Brady was, as you just outlined, very different last year.
Very different.
8-0, the most miserable 8-0 quarter, very different demeanor and all of those things. And I just wonder, he admitted on Howard Stern that he basically knew before the season that he was going to leave.
Ugh.
And I just wonder how much, and I continue to wonder how much that knowledge affected him last year. Because think about it. If they had won the I'm not saying he didn't try and he didn't care and he had a foot out the door. But if they had won the Super Bowl last year and then he still was going to leave, that would have looked not good. I mean, he would have taken a hit probably from the fans if they had won and he walked away. I just don't know. These are humans. He's a human.
Yeah.
That affects you. If you know you're leaving, how do you give everything to if you're leaving, especially because you have something has turned you off? How can you just consciously give everything you have to the operation, knowing I'm done, I'm out, I'm pissed? I just wonder how much that affected him last year. We'll never know. I just wonder.
I think it's still miraculous to me that they won the Super Bowl that they did in Atlanta a couple years ago, because this tension was there. And because what happened the offseason before 2019,
you know, as you mentioned, he said to Howard Stern, I sort of knew after that contract negotiation, that talk, whatever, but he was still rubbed the wrong way before the 2018 season with the incentive-laden deal and whatnot. And it's miraculous to me that they won the Super Bowl because the tension was clearly there. Then the inefficiencies, you were starting to see them in the offense. I mean, Josh McDaniels and Brady and everybody came together and sort of relied on the run and relied on that power attack. Plus, Brady made a few throws to Gronkowski, and obviously that made the difference. And that's just how talented both of them are. But to me, it's so miraculous. I wonder, you know, if D Ford doesn't jump off sides, you know, when they lose in the AFC Championship game in Kansas City, you know, I know he still had a year left, but you wonder, like, what would have happened there? You know, because
we could play that game. I mean, sure. What if they didn't come back against the Falcons? Yeah. Would they have kept Jimmy G? You're right. It's a great point because remember, it wasn't. And again, we're not getting in after this segment. This talk is over. Okay. But I'm just saying,
you're driving the bus. Baby.
No. You're right because not only was there some there had been tension about his contract for years. Now I think it reached a boiling point in the summer of, what was it, last summer?
Yep.
August 2019, when that deal didn't get done and we heard he almost didn't go to Tennessee for joint practices. He was so pissed.
Yep.
And when he basically decided, I'm done. Which, there's a moment I can sort of relate. We'll get to that later. Okay. Cam Newton related. Okay. But not only was that the contract tension that was there over the course of a few years, you remember, you're coming off of some of the Alex Guerrero tension.
Yep.
You're coming off of the Malcolm Butler benching tension, which was real. Rob Gronkowski admitted as much on the Fox pregame show on national TV. Mm. You're coming off of the Gronk traded tension where he got traded and Gronk said, I'm retiring, and that deal didn't go through and Brady would have been pissed if Gronk left.
Which really hurt them, by the way. If they had traded Gronkowski and gotten value for him there, they could have gotten some real value from Detroit.
True. Yep. But would they have won that Super Bowl?
Maybe not. Maybe not. So and, this is the last thing ultimate I was just what say, if. Yep.
The reason they won that Super Bowl, and I've talked about this with Kitchen, I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I believe they stole that Super Bowl via their defense because I don't remember them ever playing as aggressive on defense as they did during that stretch. I know you said they ran the ball, and they did. And obviously Brady was great in the latter stages of that AFC Championship game and in overtime in the third and longs and all that. But the way they played defense, the NFL wasn't ready for that. The aggressive – the Chiefs weren't ready for that in the first half. The Chargers certainly weren't.
Chargers, no way.
And the Rams weren't. The Rams were totally ill-prepared for the aggressiveness, for how they were going to play, because the Patriots never did that. They were bend but don't break and keep everything in front and don't make a mistake and let you make a mistake. That didn't happen in 2018 in the playoffs. They forced the issue, and I think the league couldn't catch up to them fast enough, and by the time they might have, the Super Bowl was over and the Patriots won a sixth. Because you know what? Last year, you remember the last game of the season? At home against Miami, you know who was damn ready for the zero blitz? Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like every time it came, he picked it apart.
Brian Flores.
That's right.
That was his influence.
Well, and obviously that helped.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, in the playoffs in January of 2019, none of those teams were as ready for it as Ryan Fitzpatrick was. And like you said, he had Brian Flores. But there were other teams down the stretch last year that were more ready for the aggressive style.
Yeah.
And it just, they weren't caught off guard anymore. Nope. Everybody was prepared. They practiced more for it. They were ready for it. But in that stretch, in that run there, nobody was ready for it. And that is, I think, what helped them overcome the, you know, how was their offense in the Super Bowl? It was whatever.
It was
I mean, Edelman was awesome. Brady made some throws to Gronk. They didn't really do much. No. That's why they were able to overcome that. The defense was lights out. So,
well, one guy who especially wasn't ready for it was freaking Sean McVay.
McVay was not ready for it.
Oh, my goodness. That sound that they got on sound effects before the game, shaking hands, that is just the ultimate way to kiss the rings. I respect you a lot, Bill. I can't wait to see what you have game plan for us. And you score 3 freaking points.
Oh, God. It was horrible. And it was to a point where Belichick was trying to get out of the conversation.
Yeah, like, okay, Sean.
And Sean was just like,
game.
Hey, no, seriously, coach. I just have so much respect. All right, we get it.
I can't believe I'm playing you in the Super Bowl. Oh, okay. Boy.
All right, let's go to break. We need to get it trending. When we get back, we'll talk about Cam Newton, his motivation. I also want to ask you, I'm sure you talked about it in the last show, but I want your opinion on the Tom Brady Instagram post when Julian Edelman put a picture up of him and Cam Newton, a photo. So I want to get your opinion on that. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show with Nick Coy, 103.7 WEI.
103.7 WEEI. Trending now. Now, the WEEI Trending Now.
Good morning at 9:27. Here's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. Cleveland tight end David Njoku asks Browns for a trade, agent says. 31 MLB players test positive for the coronavirus at their first round of tests. And Pacers Victor Oladipo to sit out restart of NBA season. And also Redskins to undergo thorough review of nickname. I'm Devin Telgani, and that's what's trending now.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Here we go. What's this?
Wake me up when Green September
Day.
Ends.
Oh, okay.
Green Day. Wake me up when September
yeah,
ends.
Yeah. This is very, very sad.
For the 4th of July.
Yeah. Give me some, I don't know, give me some.
Chicken fried.
John Mellencamp, man.
Yeah,
give me
there
some
you
Jack
go
and Diane.
I will for sure. Next break, for
okay
sure.
Okay. All right.
Bruce, the boss.
Yeah, give me some boss.
All right. And there goes the phone call.
It's probably Rich from Providence calling.
Okay. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. Cam Newton, obviously, is going to be motivated, you would think. Yeah. I mean, his Instagram posts and the Twitter. By the way, how about some of these quarterbacks and athletes in general, but the editors that they have working for them? Have you seen some of his videos, the content he puts? Like, who's editing those things? Not him. Brady? I mean, they're going to get into an editing battle, Brady and Newton. It's great.
Where does he get this font, by the way?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
I don't. It annoys me. It annoys me.
Right. I get he's trying to be unique, have his own. It's tough to read, dude.
It's tough to read.
Yeah. Like, I want to read it. Like, if you're going to put a message out, I want to be able to see it and not have to decipher it.
Jeez.
You know, that's literally what I said on the air. I said, well, he put out a statement tonight, and let me decipher it for you, because you probably can't read it.
So, I think of a guy, when I think of Cam Newton, I think of a guy, different position, different money situation. But you remember Akeem Hicks a few years ago?
Yep.
He was great for the Patriots, and he was here 1 year, and he left, and I think he went to the Bears, and he signed a big deal, and he's been great for them. I think of even a guy in different situation, different sport. You remember Adrian Beltre? He was good here on the road. What was it, 2010, 2011, and that?
2010.
He was good here. And I think it was only for 1 year, and then he moved on. Newton is that's who Newton will be. I don't think he's here more than 1 year.
I don't think so
the Patriots are willing to give him the type of money he's looking for. So I think that he's just going to end up being a one-hit wonder, hopefully, for the team. You know, he wants another big deal. He thinks he can still play. He's motivated. I also found, I mean, I didn't know this. He has 7 kids. And he just got, I guess, divorced, or they weren't married. He broke up with his girlfriend, so there's like a custody battle going on. So there could be some child payments that he has to make. So, that you need money, and
yeah,
he has
sure
7 kids. So he's going to be motivated, especially playing for, and not just that, just for, like you said, respect.
Yeah.
$1 million contract, and we just listed off who he's going to be making as much as. If you're Cam Newton, if you're any type of competitor, you have to be pissed off by that. So there are a million reasons why this guy is going to be motivated to play. How it translates, we'll have to wait and see. So tell me, and I know Mark Daniels alluded to this.
Yes.
Would it be beneficial to the Patriots if Cam Newton was not the starter come week one?
Yes, because that would mean that Jarrett Stidham has probably beaten him out for the job. I mean, there is a scenario where, say, Newton's health isn't right. That could also be a scenario. And in that case, okay, well, we're moving on to the young kid. Still, I like it because, you know, not for Newton's sake, but you're moving on to the next generation here. There's obviously something here, I think, with Stidham. I really don't think that this is a, you know, when they signed Cam Newton, they sort of wrote off Jarrett Stidham. And I know I've heard on some of the Boston shows, like, you know, oh, maybe because he went to that wedding in Texas, they changed their opinion on Jarrett Stidham. Come on. That's overanalyzing. Like, him going to a wedding in Texas, guy can't go to a wedding now. and the team's going to write him off. Like, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, I didn't even hear. When did he go to a wedding?
He went to a wedding or something in Texas recently or something, and they're like, well, that means he's not uber motivated by football. No, maybe he just wanted to get away for the weekend with his wife and go to a friend's wedding. Like, stop overanalyzing that. That's like the whole Jason Tatum playing golf during quarantine thing. I think that's so stupid. Because if you saw the video yesterday of Jason Tatum working out at the Celtics facility, that guy looks motivated. And he looks ripped, too. Yeah. He looks ready to go. So that stuff, like, I hate that stuff, you know. So it wasn't something that changed, I think, with Jarrett Stidham. I think that they saw an opportunity here with Cam Newton. The price came down, and he comes in. But to answer your question, it probably means that Stidham has beaten out Newton, which means that your faith in this young kid who you drafted in the fourth round last year has been rewarded, and you really believe in him.
Take me inside the mind of Bill Belichick and answer this question. Is there any chance, that this Cam Newton signing is any way, you know, closely related to what the Tim Tebow signing of 2013 will be? Because Tebow, you know, small, now obviously not nearly as accomplished as Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But you brought him in sort of after his heyday had ended, cheaper deal, because that was nothing. There was nothing there. He had no chance. That isn't this at all, right?
Nope.
Okay.
No,
just making sure.
Because Tim Tebow didn't have a chance to start. This guy has a chance to come in and start and be the quarterback.
You know, hopefully better than a chance.
Right.
Good chance.
Yeah, right. It's and the peak of Tim Tebow was not the peak of Cam Newton.
No.
Cam Newton took that team 15-1 to the Super Bowl.
I forgot they were 15-1.
Unbelievable. And I know this has been listed off by a lot of people.
19-0. Back on track, baby. Let's go.
That is Mark's favorite topic, is the undefeated topic.
So do you know what I just did?
What's that?
I'm going to tell you what I just did.
Okay.
I didn't even know you could do this. Okay. You can go on NFL Films. There's like some shady back alley kind of way. You can go to NFLfilms.com and buy random DVDs. I just bought a DVD for like $50 of the 2007 New England Patriots created by NFL Films. So you could go back. They have DVDs on sale. So you could go back and get the season highlight DVD, if you're nostalgic, of the 1996 Patriots and their run to the Super Bowl. And they lost to the Packers.
Wow.
Yeah. So I bought the 2007 one. What the hell? Add it to the DVD collection, the Patriots DVD collection. So that's just a little sidebar. But yeah, wow. I like the 19-0 storyline is fun for me. But I'm not going to talk about that now. I don't think they're going to do that. So we won't even bring that up. But this is a guy. I'm with you. The Tim Tebow thing, this isn't that at all.
No.
I thought it was worth just bringing up because, again, a big name, former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that had some NFL success, not Newton's, came in after the success was over. And Brady obviously was still here, so that's a big difference. And you didn't know if he was going to be able to contribute at all, and it just was not even close to a thing. He couldn't even stick as a backup or anything.
No.
Newton, you'd hope they're bringing in to start and compete.
Absolutely.
Because that, you know, if he is right, you'd have to think he has. It gives them a better chance of going further than Stidham at this stage of his career.
No, I think you brought up the appropriate names when talking about this situation. It's just, if both sides have success, if Newton has success and the Patriots have success because of that, then it's a mutually beneficial relationship. Newton goes on, signs a new big money deal with another team, you move on to your next guy, and everybody wins. And you brought up the right names, whether it's, you know, baseball, it was a good one with Adrian Beltre. I know the situation at the time. They trade for Adrian Gonzalez, so they move on, whatever. They put their money somewhere else. But looking back, man, they should have kept Adrian Beltre.
He was awesome.
He's a Hall of Famer. He may be a Hall of Famer. Like, that's unbelievable.
And it's amazing how long he's been in the league.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like 98 was his rookie year or something like that.
I can hit. You look at the stats.
Doesn't like his head touched, but I can respect that.
Yeah, right. But, like, you brought up that name. You know, I think I brought up Revis earlier. You know, another guy I think of, you know, more recently is somebody like I don't think he signed a huge deal after this, but like a guy like a Chris Long came in and helped them win Super Bowl 51. It was a one-year deal. But again, with all of the guys we just mentioned, and anybody you can mention, mostly, you're still paying a lot of money for that 1 year. Like, I think Chris Long got like $9 million that year. Revis got 12. I know it was a two-year deal, but it was really a one-year deal for 12 mil. because you weren't paying them that $20 million the next year. The amazing part of this deal is again, it's a base salary of just over $1 million, and less than one half of that is guaranteed. I mean, that to me is... That's unbelievable, and it is the ultimate motivation. What's an ultimate motivator for an athlete, for anybody, Mark, is everything that you do, all the success that you have, will show up in your paycheck, and that's the ultimate motivator here for Cam Newton. The more success he has, the more it's going to show up in his paycheck, and he can reach those incentives, and that should push him into having a great season here.
And you know what? If it is one and done, I'm totally okay with that.
Me too.
Even if he's great, I'm totally okay with that. Because here's the thing. At this stage of the Patriots' existence, with where the dynasty's at, and like we just outlined, all the coaches, the ages, the defense, and the shelf life, if it's one and done, great. You give it a shot this year with a quarterback that was a former MVP. But next year, you don't know what Cam Newton will be out there next year. I mean, next year, you could have a shot at, not that he's Cam Newton, but you could have a shot at a guy like Baker Mayfield. You know, if he doesn't work out, exactly. If he doesn't work out, let's say Mayfield has another down year in Cleveland, they could be ready to move on. And then all of a sudden, here comes another number one overall pick that you have a shot at getting, and you're in a better cap situation next year than you were this year. So, especially with the last few legs here of the dynasty, if you want to go year to year on a quarterback and not pay a lot of money, you know, if you don't think Stidham is the guy, or if he doesn't turn into the guy, I'm okay with them doing that because you're trying to get another crack at a Super Bowl. So I'm okay with it. Let's before we go to break, I want to talk to Dan in Cranston. Dan, good morning. Happy 4th.
Hey, same to you.
Hi, Dan.
Who's the other guy? Hey. Hey, I flicked on the radio, and timing's everything, but the first thing I heard was I saw Nick's piece last night.
Hey, now.
Okay. That was...
Hey!
That's a rough way to answer them. Okay.
Real life Ron Burgundy.
Wow.
You.
Many leather bound books.
Hey, one quick scenario.
Yeah.
That no one talks about. Well, this is. I think it's far fetched. I've already talked about it enough. But if Cam Newton is legit, right, and say they go 12-4 and make it to the AFC Championship, or whatever, say they're just a real legit team, there's going to be pressure on not to let the guy walk. I mean, they're going to have like $100 million in cap space next year, supposedly.
Oh, yeah.
If the guy's legit and he's back to, you know, being a dominant force, you can't just let a guy like that walk away. It's just, it sounds like everyone's just assuming that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, the sneaky thing in this deal is that they have the ability to put the franchise tag on him. They reserved that right.
Yep.
That's the sneaky part of that deal, which... If he does have the success, maybe that's the route they go. But remember, Dan, when the Revis thing happened, he comes here, plays well, they win a Super Bowl. There was a lot of people that were ticked off that he didn't re-sign here and he went to the Jets and the Patriots didn't make more of the effort there. But Belichick's faith was rewarded again because I think he looked at it and said, I can get the most out of him now. He'll go sign for all that money somewhere else. I know it's different with quarterback and with Cam Newton. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of flash if he does have success, and it's a good point. But if they do let him go, because of the past and what Belichick has done, the track record with these types of players, you know, aging guys, you know, I think people may be more understanding, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, Revis, he did tank after that anyways.
He
was playing for the money.
Did.
He always played for the money.
Sure.
But the thing about Newton is I think that, you know, legitimately, if he did franchise and you're looking at, what, like $30-something million a year.
Right.
They do have the money next year to do it. Apparently, I don't know the exact cap, but I heard they have a crap load of money to start next year, like $90, $100 million or whatever it is. So, I mean, if you wanted to do it, you certainly could do it. But, again, did you make the Tebow reference, Mark?
Yes.
I think that's the exact same, on a much different scale. I think they just took a flyer on the guy, see what he got in the preseason. And I think that if he is not the starting quarterback, he's not on this team. They just cut him.
Yeah, no way.
He's going to be the backup.
Yeah, no way.
No chance. All right, have a good 4th, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, here's what I'll say about just sort of one of Dan's points. There would be pressure to re-sign him, especially with the franchise tag available. The problem is I don't have a lot of faith in his health going forward for multiple years. You might get one good year out of him, maybe another, But if you're talking about a four-year deal or something like that to take him to age 35, absolutely not. Not with what he's been through. I mean, it's hard enough, a healthy guy, to play till age 35. There's no way with that. But, and here's another thing. I wonder if Bill Belichick assumes that this is most likely a one-year situation. I don't know how much they're going to be protecting him, if you know what I mean. They might not be shy about, we will run Newton, we will run him, we will run him, and he will take a lot of punishment this year because he's going to be trying to prove it. He's going to be diving over people for fumbles. You know, he wants to show that he wants it because he wants that next contract. If he takes a lot of punishment this year, that's not going to help his long-term health. So, and it's already a spotty health history. So there's concern of a health concern this year, especially going forward.
I think you'd push your luck if you sign him to a long-term deal after this. I think I'm totally with you. Because of a guy that's, if you're a guy that's injury-prone like this, if you get one good year out of him, I think people are smart enough to know that if Belichick were to get one good year and then move on, it's because he believes that, you know, the health for a four-year deal or something like that, which takes him to, as you said, age 35, that it wouldn't hold up because it's just, this is the right situation. This is the right scenario. He's got all the motivation in the world, and let's see what they can do. And again, if they really believe in Jarrett Stidham, we talked about it on the last show. With Jimmy Garoppolo, they gave him 2 years behind Brady before he had to step in and start during the Deflategate suspension. I think they like to have at least a couple years with guys developing as quarterbacks before they decide, okay, are we keeping him? Are we moving on? Are we trading him somewhere? Whatever. So throwing him out there, I think they were okay with it this year. But I think having another year to develop, you know, if Newton is indeed the starter, is not such a bad thing. And it would work out well for the Patriots in that regard, too.
This is the Mark and Kitchen Show. Nick Coit in for Kitchen today.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and
Where's
Kitchen Show.
Where's my melon camp,
407-737.
Come on, X going to give it to you, getting ready for the baseball season.
But you play X all the time. X gives it to us all the time. I want some Jack and Diane, little Diddy.
All right, next hour. Next
all
hour.
All right.
For sure.
We need some Americana, man. Woo! All right, welcome back. Mark and Kitchen Show with Nick Coit.
103.7 WEI.
I'm just thinking about the music, and I don't know how the motivation behind his selections. Okay. Every week, week in and week out, Backstreet Boys, X going to give it to,
Backstreet
I mean, it's all
Boys.
Over the map.
Wow.
He goes all the time. He goes late 90s boy bands.
Like 98 Degrees back there?
Nah, I've never heard them.
No? Okay. Well, that's going deep if you're going boy bands. NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
So you know how bad this has gotten, this no sports thing has gotten?
Little
I'm going to admit this right now, and this I'm not proud of this.
Okay.
Do you know what I did this past week?
What's that?
Okay. I listened to a full podcast. It was like a half an hour.
With your attention span?
I listened to the full podcast of Lance Bass. Do you know who Lance Bass is?
Well, yeah.
Okay. He interviewed Danielle Fishel, his ex-girlfriend. And I listened the whole thing.
Topanga.
Yes. The whole thing, I had a huge thing for Topanga back in the day. I don't know what I was expecting to hear, you know, like, and he turned out gay. I listened to the whole thing. He talked about it. He said, he asked her about it. How did it feel when I came out as gay and we were dating and she was very supportive? I like, what am I doing?
Wait, I didn't even know this. So Lance Bass and Danielle Fishel, well, they dated?
They dated.
Wow.
That's why I listened. They dated around the time that, you know, NSYNC was big and Boy Meets World was big. Yeah, oh yeah.
That's unbelievable. I didn't even know that. Learned something new today. Wow.
They dated. They went to the prom together or something.
Wow.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's pictures.
Topanga.
I don't know why I listened to that. Like, what am I doing?
You know what's weird is I walked into my newsroom recently and I was talking about, I don't know how Boy Meets World came up. But half the people in my newsroom, and I have a young newsroom at ABC6, young people.
Yeah.
Half the newsroom didn't know what I was talking about when I was talking about Boy Meets World.
That's unbelievable
that makes
to
you
me.
Feel old.
Oh my God. I'm like, how do you not know what Boy Meets World is? Mm-hmm. Okay, if you get Disney Plus, watch it. I mean, that is
See, it was a good show back in the day.
TGIF, man. That
it wasn't
was
Home Improvement, but it was good.
Home Improvement was pretty good too.
Home Improvement was excellent.
But like as you're growing up with Corey and Topanga, you know, and Sean and Eric and all those guys. Like that is classic show.
I had to explain to my wife not long ago how impacted I was by the movie Mighty Ducks because
I watched it last night.
But I was just thinking that when that movie came out, you know, I was probably around 6-7 years old. So I was just a little bit younger than those guys that were, and I had just started playing hockey. So that movie to me was my everything. It was my everything.
What a movie.
Those guys, Banks, Charlie, you know, they were whatever. So then, how did we get here?
D1, D2, or D3?
D2.
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 By far. I love D1, and it was great to watch it last night.
It's great.
And it's still, Jack Riley is the perfect villain, whatever.
It was well written.
Like Gordon walks out of the rink and after dropping the Banks bomb on him, and he stops him by being the old coach. Bombay, you stop when I'm talking to you, son. I'm like, oh, man, you are such a... It just makes your blood
boil. And how
boil.
Much of a dink was Ducksworth or whatever?
Quack, quack, quack,
firing
quack, quack.
The guy because he wouldn't...
Yes, sir, Mr. Ducksworth.
He was the one that said you need to learn about fair play, you loser.
Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth.
Okay.
The best. What a movie, man. What a movie.
It's a great movie, but D2 was better.
D2 was
The only thing about D2 that made me, you know, after watching Miracle, D2 sort of took a little bit of a hit because they sort of... It was sort of the Miracle story told in a different way. You know what I mean? With Iceland serving as the Russian team.
But it was real. I mean, the Miracle was real.
Miracle
like,
was
D2,
real.
D2 is, it's got more fictional. I watched it as a kid. You know, Wolf the Dentist. Like, what a...
Oh, yeah.
You come up with a great movie villain. You want to talk about what you concocted there. Wolf the Dentist. Julie the Cat. I appreciated D2 more after working in small market TV. Because, as you know, my first small market was Bangor, Maine.
Bangor.
And that jersey that Julie the Cat has on from Bangor, Maine, authentic. That's
what do you
the
mean authentic?
Part.
There's like a real team?
Well, the Bangor High School.
Oh, there was a real team that wore that
the
jersey.
Real,
oh,
like,
no way.
That's like at least close
and
to.
And you had in D2, you had those the real Mighty Ducks that the actual NHL team eventually wore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the logo, the jerseys were sweet.
Oh, it's great. And the lines from the movie, too. And it's just like, you
Bash
know, the
Brothers.
End of it. And he's like, you lost it for me. You lost it for yourself. Let's go shake their hands. Yeah. Like I've said that many, many times.
It's quotable.
Oh, so good.
Great series.
So good.
Okay. So getting back to reality here. I just wanted to ask you what you thought of Tom Brady. So if you didn't see, you must have seen at this point. But Tom Brady, Julian Edelman had a post, Instagram post, where he basically photoshopped some picture of him and Newton. I don't even remember what he said. He said something
Newton,
about
Massachusetts.
Newton, Massachusetts, let's work.
Yep.
Tom Brady then commented and said, I'll always be your number one with, I believe, a little winky face or something.
Whatever it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Tom, just go be with your team. Okay? Yeah. Just go, Tom. Yeah. It's just stop.
What was he doing?
He's that guy that he's commenting on social media and you're like, Tom, just look, you chose a new team. You chose a new place. You brought your other buddy Gronk with you. Don't make Julian feel bad for the breakup. Like this was the breakup happened. Okay, don't be that ex girlfriend that comments on a post with you and the new girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Like that ex girlfriend. Julian's moving on. He's moving on to the new part of his life, and you have to swoop in and comment. And so poor Julian's probably saying, get a load of the ex, you know, like, oh, man, get off my posts. Like, just let's everybody move on. All right, Tom, it was great while it lasted, but we got a new quarterback now, okay? Julian's got a new guy, new girlfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that post exhibited all kinds of insecurity. I didn't even think it was real.
Yes.
I mean, that's insecure. It's like, I'm worried that I'm going to be replaced. And I need to make a comment here to remind people who I am and what I did. And what? Tom Brady doing something like that? Tom Brady's supposed to live in downtown Swagville. And that is not somebody, you know, nobody from there would be making a post like that. You don't care.
We got a Swagville. We got our first Swagville.
Well, I'm just saying, you should be more, You should operate with more conviction than that. You chose to leave. You're totally, what's the word I'm looking for?
Your legacy,
comfortable with
your
where
legacy
you are.
Is cemented.
Your legacy is cemented.
Yeah.
You are comfortable with your current situation. You have no qualms about it. You should not be making that post. You should not be concerned with what the Patriots are doing. You left. Don't worry. Now, Cam Newton, I get it. Different type of player, younger, flashier, more athletic, former MVP, so the credentials can sort, not really, but they can stack up better than some other guy that's Brian Hoyer or somebody. So it might have bothered you a little, but the fact that it bothered him to the point where he had to go public and, you know, take out his phone and put in the passcode and type words and hit send, like, it bothered him that much. I was shocked at the insecurity that I felt in that post.
Like, Tom is the hot ex-girlfriend, and he's feeling a little insecure because the new girlfriend here, she's pretty hot.
She's hot?
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's had, you know,
a lot to offer.
Right, exactly. A lot to offer there. So there's the insecurity part. That's
but that's what surprised me. I couldn't believe that.
I know.
You got Gronk, too. Like, what are you, why?
I know.
What are you doing?
I know. You're preaching.
Did Edelman respond? We never saw a response.
I don't know. I think Cam responded with like love or something like that, or loved it, or something.
Whatever. Respect, Under Armour guys, whatever. But, and I didn't even have a problem. You know what? I didn't have a problem when he made the post when the Patriots signed Newton.
Yeah.
And he said something about Under Armour quarterback. Like, that, fine.
Cool.
Like, that's fine.
Yep.
But the Edelman one, that was insecure. Like, that was, okay. We're a little bit too concerned with what's going on with the ex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy from Swagville should not be like that.
He lives in the province of swag, and that's.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to go along with your. You know, Swagville's your thing, man. I used to love when Mark Devin. I used to love when Mark would drop the Swagville on the air.
It's arguably what I miss most about doing TV.
Every night there was somebody lived in Swagville. Somebody came from Swagaton.
And
like,
God bless Shannon Heggie. She always laughed whenever I did it. I could still hear her laugh to my left. Because if somebody with, you know, other people maybe in the building didn't like it, or did, her laugh always validated any Swagville reference I made.
I'd be chuckling in the six office because I'd have you on 10:45. I'd have the sports wrap
appreciate
on
just
to see what was going on, see what you guys were doing, and I'd hear it. Believe me, I giggled every time.
Let's go to break. We have to get to the top of the hour. When we get back, I want to make one more point about the Patriots. We'll get Nick's take on their projected record and people's sort of perception of how they're going to do next year now that Cam Newton is in the mix. And then we're going to get to the NBA, Major League Baseball, some name changes, some 4th of July questions. We got a lot to do here because I also want to talk about, I also want to get the question. Devin has a question, correct? Correct. He has a question of the week. Producer's question. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show with Nick Coit today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.